We've had memory verses to do. We're going to read all the verses there, 7, 8, 9, and 10. That's what we've covered over the past weeks. Galatians 7, 8, 9, and 10. And by God's grace, we're going to finish this lesson out today. Or as my mom would say, this day. All right, Galatians chapter number 6. And we'll read 7, 8, 9, and 10. Amen. All right, everybody there? Anybody scared today? Scared you're going to get the coronavirus? Anybody sick already that I need to stay away from? Get the moon walking on you? All right, Galatians 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Let's go ahead and read those together. We're going to say the reference. We'll read it and then the reference, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here we go. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Father, as we finish up this last lesson here in the 12th chapter, I pray that, Lord, you would press upon our heart the beauty of sowing and reaping in the spiritual realm. But then, Lord, also the consequences of reaping in the carnal realm as well, knowing if we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap of the Spirit those things that are Christ-honoring, life everlasting, and many other things. But if we sow to the flesh, then, Lord, we're going to reap corruption in many, many facets of our lives, Lord. So help us to make wise choices. Make wise decisions that, Lord, that you, through all things, would be glorified. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Galatians chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 is what we have covered thus far. So I need to give you the blanks just in case you missed something. It's been a while since we've looked at this, since we've been into our missions conference. But let's go back to Roman numeral 1. Get you filled in here just in case. The law of the harvest. Again, this whole entire lesson is dealing with three principles. You reap what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. That's true on multiple levels. Roman numeral 1 was you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And then we saw A, see your word, your thoughts, words, and actions as seeds. See your thoughts, words, and actions as seeds. Then B, we saw, see God's sovereignty bring to pass man's choices. See God's sovereignty bring to pass man's choices. So in other words, you make the choice, and God brings the results. Amen. See God's sovereignty bring to pass man's choices. And then C, see the conflict of the garden of your heart. Your flesh wants to plant some stuff, but also the Spirit wants to plant some stuff. See the conflict of the garden of your heart. That's C. All right. And then we come down to Roman number 2. You reap later than you sow. You reap later than you sow. By the way, you study first and then you get the results afterwards. Amen. You reap later than you sow. A, do not be deceived by delayed judgment. Do not be deceived by delayed judgment. In other words, you say, well, nothing's going to happen if I have this action. Well, I assure you it will. Amen. B, do not be discouraged by present barrenness. So in other words, you may do something. You don't see the results right away. Don't get discouraged. It's going to come. Do not be discouraged by present barrenness. Then C, do not be distracted by immediate pleasures. Do not be distracted by immediate pleasures. In other words, saying, well, you know, I can take a shortcut and get and do it this way. Shortcuts are not going to be good. Amen. Do not be distracted by immediate pleasures. And then we're come up to Roman numeral 3. Anybody need me to repeat any of those? Okay, Roman numeral 3 then. You will reap more than you sow. How many know that is true? Amen. You will reap more than you sow. By the way, the garden of our hearts is big, and it has plenty of room for the fruit to grow in it. Amen. Praise God for that. As we faithfully plant seeds, we may be surprised by how much ultimately we will reap someday. Amen. It is amazing what God would do. How many of y'all ever had $495,000 given to you? Yeah, we did. Amen. But individually, guess what? None of us have. But guess what? Because we tithe, we gave to missions corporately as a church, we saw $495,000 given to us, amen, when it came to this building. And praise God for it, amen. We ultimately reaped more than we sold. I don't think any of us has given $500,000. Maybe you have, amen. I haven't seen it come through the offering tray if you did, amen. And so as a result of us giving and giving and giving, finally, we saw God say, hey, look, guess what I'm going to do for you? $495,000. So you reap more than you sow. So A is this. Take every opportunity to plant good seeds. Take every opportunity to plant good seeds. Now, the Roman numeral is still you reap more than you sow. By the way, I lived on 1309 Cutter Avenue as a child. And from as long as I can remember, there was a cherry tree in the back portion of our yard on the right side. Every year that cherry tree gave us what? Cherries. And for as long as we lived in that house, I was born in that house and we moved when I was in fifth grade. So how old was I? I was a fifth grader. Seven? No, they're older than that. But I said, they're seven, and that's bad. They got held back. Amen. So I was old enough, about 10 or 11. I was somewhere in there. Amen. And so by the time we moved, so 10 years at least, that cherry tree gave us fruit. But guess what? We didn't plant the tree. Somebody else planted the tree. And guess what? We reaped from what they had sown. And from what they sown, evidently they reaped, but we reap more than was sown. They put down, I guess, maybe a couple seeds there. I don't know how many seeds they put down, but guess what? It gave me cherries year after year. There was enough cherries for us and the birds, because the birds frequented the tree. Amen. And so we ate cherries after cherries after cherries from that cherry tree. What am I saying here? You reap more than you sow, so take every opportunity to plant good seeds. You'll never know how long you're going to benefit from seeds you're planting right now. Amen. You really won't. And let me give you a good thing to consider. Your children. You will never know how long you're going to benefit from your children, from the seeds you're planting in their lives right now. My mom still, she calls me to this day, asks me questions. She calls me and gives me advice. Now, she still corrects me as well. And she still gets on me about this, that, and the other. But guess what? There's a lot that I can give her from the Word of God that she can't get herself. And so the seeds that she planted in me years ago, to be respectful, to be honoring to her, to be truthful to her, and the rest of those things that she instilled in me, she's reaping the benefits of that. And so your children are one good source that you can invest in now and take every opportunity to plant good seeds in, because you're going to reap more than you sow. Guess what? If you teach your child to be honest, they can be honest with you and who else? So you reap more than what you sow. If you teach your children to respect you, guess what? They'll respect you and who else? goes with the territory. So you still reap more than what you sow. If you teach your children not to steal, guess what? They won't steal from you, and guess what? Everyone else. They will one day have an employer. They won't steal from their employer. Praise God, they should be tithing. They won't be a God robber. Amen. And the list goes on. So you will always reap more than what you sow. You sow one seed of children obey your parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother. Be truthful and honest and don't lie. You sow these small seeds of righteousness, and guess what? You will reap more than what you sow. Amen. Hey, your kids, you can plant seeds in them. The fruit comes later, but it will come. My wife to this day, she tells my mom this. Mother's Day comes around, or special days. She said, I am so grateful for what you did in Greg when he was a kid. Why? Who's reaping from that now? She is. If a child is raised right to honor their father and mother, especially the man, the boy, if the boy is taught to respect his mother and honor his mother, what's he going to do to his wife? Why? He sees that female image in his wife that he sees in his mother. If I ought to respect my mother, I ought to respect my wife. By the way, if I respect my sisters and my brothers, I ought to respect others as well. So what I see in my wife is what I saw in my mom. Hey, ladies are this way, and this is the way you ought to be to ladies. And this is the way you ought to behave yourself. This is what you should say to them. This is what you shouldn't say to them. This is what you shouldn't do to them. I remember one time we were over in Belgium, and I had gotten saved, and so my ideology about things was a little different. And I had been there for several years, and my mom said, why you don't send me any souvenirs? And I said, why do you need a souvenir? She said, because I'm not there in Europe. I said, well, you're not missing much. Amen. You know, and she said, well, send me a souvenir. I said, well, you know, I kind of hemmed and hauled around a little bit. And then my mom finally said, do I have to spell it out for you, boy? I'm materialistic. Give me something to put my hands on. And I thought, oh, well, since you put it that way, amen. Started sending stuff left and right. Amen. What happened? She was trying to let me know, hey, look, I want something from over there. Why don't you send me something? I mean, I didn't even send a postcard. That's pretty bad. Amen. I thought, well, you know, you saw all this stuff on TV anyway. Amen. But what happened? My wife was the one that benefited from that, but also everybody else. Guess what? My daughter benefits from that. My church benefits from that. My coworkers benefited from that. My bosses benefited from that. My subordinates who I boss benefited from that. Why? My mother sowed a seed in me years ago, and now it's reaping more than was sown. So when it comes to take every opportunity to plant good seeds. You and I want to make sure that we're planting good seeds. By the way, if you're a good listener to your mom, chances are you're going to be a good listener to your wife. If you weren't a good listener to your mom, guess what? Chances are you're not going to be a good listener to your mom, to your wife. So ladies, if he doesn't listen to you, he probably didn't listen to his mom either. And send him back home so she can beat him. Amen. No. Send him back home. Get a whooping. Amen. My mother would always say, Gregory, you listening to me? And that would be some of those times when my mind would be wandering. And I say, yeah, I am. She said, what did I just say? You said, what did I just say? That didn't go well. She would grab my face. Blow it, I'm talking to you. You listen to me.
Yes, ma'am.
She said, look, you listen to me because you're going to have to listen when you get out of this house. And I don't want someone that's not listening when they get out of this house, because there are people that's going to give you instructions that you need to follow. You listen to me, you'll be able to listen to them. I used to think, oh, man, I hope they don't talk as long as you. Be here all day, amen. Don't y'all repeat none of that stuff to your mother either.
Y'all taking notes.
I could do that. I pick with my mom all the time. Amen. But what are we saying here? You reap more than what you sow. Take every opportunity to plant good seeds. Just for a moment, spiritually. Now, these are some things that you can plant and expect to get something in return. Number one, what spiritual seeds can we plant? Giving. Giving. What does the Bible say in Luke 6:38? Give, and it shall be given. I can plant the seed of giving and know that if I am a consistent and a faithful and a cheerful giver, God is going to use people to give back to me. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given. What does it say? Good measure. How? Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall who give? Shall men give unto your bosom? So God's going to use people to give to you. So that's the seed that I can plant. I can be a giver. I can tithe, I can give offerings, and God is going to make sure that I am not outgiving him. By the way, you can never outgive God. So a seed that you can plant could be giving, amen. It could be getting involved in missions giving. Now, missions giving is not something that you must do, but guess what? God blesses you when you do it. Amen. So you can give your tithes and your offerings. God's going to bless. Missions can be that which you can get blessed through. Here's another one that many of us really take for granted that you can invest in. And what you sow, you're going to reap more. Children's ministries. Children's ministries. Guess who's going to be the next leaders? Guess who is vying for the children's mind right now? The devil. And the more you can give by way of a children's ministry. Now, let me caution you. Not everybody is good in this ministry. I'm not good in this ministry. That's why I praise God that he's given me people that are good. Miss Lilia, she is good in that. Miss Jerry, she's good in that. Mrs. Dawson, you've got others over there. Brother Fred, they're good in children's ministry. So if you invest in children's ministry, many of the great men of God, guess who they go back to? A Sunday school teacher that gave them the gospel. A children's church worker that gave them the gospel. Those that taught them a principle. I was talking to Brother Alfred King, and he was just talking about all the ways they tried to get over on his dad. Now, his dad is deaf, but he was hearing. And so they would try to get over on his dad on multiple things. And he said they would always test him to see if he could really hear. He said they'd go behind the, hey! He said his dad wouldn't flinch. He said, but let them get into some mischief. He's right there looking at him. He said, now how could he not hear that, but I go in and get into mischief and he can hear and see that? He said, but he goes back to when he was 15 years old, he was going to the deaf ministry because he could sign. And he said, as the preacher was signing the gospel, he said he was convicted in his soul from what he had heard. Now, he didn't hear it here. He heard it here. And someone got involved in his life as a teenager in youth ministry, gave him the gospel. The preaching reiterated that gospel. And guess what? He got saved. Now he's pastoring a church. He's reaping more than what was sown. Someone invested in his life as a youngster, and now they're reaping the benefits. So children's ministry is another thing. This is one that's very neglected that you can reap good benefits. Prayer. What is so beneficial about prayer? It works. What else is beneficial about prayer? Jamelli? Amen. We're listening to him. We communicate with him. What else is beneficial about prayer? Can make miraculous things. How many prayed for the $495,000? Exactly. I didn't pray for $495,000. If that were the case, we got that. Amen. I would have prayed for $1 million. Amen. I didn't pray. I just say, Lord, make it happen. Lord, give us the money. Lord, make this work. Prayer. Prayer goes and does what you and I can't do. It affects people that you can't talk to. It helps them make decisions that you can't influence them to make. Amen. You talk about a child or a young person that's stubborn or hard-headed or whatever, pray for them. Pray for them. You know, some people, well, I don't want you to pray for me. You can't stop me. You cannot stop me from praying for you. You know, I've actually had heard people told me that. Don't pray for me. You're right. Yes. That's right. They are protected from many things because of our prayers. Exactly. So that's another thing that we can invest in. And what are we talking about here? Every opportunity to plant good seed. These are seeds we can plant. Giving is a seed to plant. Giving to missions is a seed to plant. Children's ministry, investing in them, is a good seed that we can plant. Prayer is a good seed to plant. Christian education is a good seed to plant. Amen. I know everybody can't homeschool, but guess what? That's a good seed to plant. If you're planting good seeds in Christian school, homeschool, guess what? There are a lot of bad seeds that aren't getting planted. There's a lot of things that go on in school systems right now that are mandatory. You've got to accept homosexuality. You have got to accept the same gender relationships. You have got to accept the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual relationship. You've got to accept that. If somebody comes into class and says, I know my name is Greg, but I want to be called Gregetta, you've got to respect that, no matter how masculine he may look. Now they've got this dilemma. Guys that are transgender that say they're girls, they want to play sports. No, I got a problem. Amen? Well, they should have thought about that when God said what he said. So now you've got, you know, old George over here wants to go run in the track meet with old, Sally over there. And he's got steroid-looking legs and steroid-looking arms, but he's got this lipstick on. I'm a girl. Ready, say, go. You don't run like no girl. And now Sally's mad because he's transgender, because he says his name is Gregetta or George, whatever, but he's really a guy, and he's running against girls. Do the girls have a chance against this guy? No. Now I'm on the basketball court. Pop, slapping stuff. Get that junk out of here. Pow. And the girls are complaining. Hey, folks, now they're trying to come out with a law that the transgender boys can't play the girls' sports. Well, why didn't you? Yeah, you have their own team, amen. Why didn't they think about that from the beginning? When God said male and female, he made them. But now they got that problem, amen. So, folks, I'm just saying, you know, if you have the privilege to homeschool or to send your children to a Christian school, you're planting some good seeds. Now, I know everybody doesn't have that opportunity. I understand that. But for those that do, there are bad seeds that aren't getting planted because children are impressionable when they're young, and they take it in. And by the way, the society now is being anesthetized to accept those things as just as equal as the other relationships. Doesn't matter what God says. We don't follow that anyway. That's a narrow book. They're following that, and they're indoctrinating these young children so that when your child goes to talk to them, they don't see anything wrong with having two daddies or two mamas. They don't see anything wrong with that. And then when you say, but the Bible says, they say, well, that's outdated and antiquated, and that doesn't matter. Because as long as they love each other, according to the Bible, they don't love each other, they lust. That's what the Bible says about homosexual relationships. It's lust. Amen. I'm just saying. By the way, I made this point before and I'll make it again. When you deal with two guys or two gals, you know what you still have in a relationship? Somebody still plays the husband. Somebody still plays the wife. You can't get around it. You can't get around it. You don't have two ladies. One of them is more masculine than the other. Otherwise, they wouldn't be attracted to each other. When it comes to two men, one is more feminine and one is more masculine. You can't get away. Somebody still plays the husband. Somebody still plays the wife. Only you can't have kids. Amen. Get off that stove box here. Get me on the political realm here. Amen. Anyway, going on here. So take every opportunity to plant good seeds. Why? You reap more than you sow. B, imagine the consequences of every seed. Imagine the consequences of every seed. In other words, imagine what happens with everything you say think, or do. Wow. Let me read what it says here. Imagine the consequences of every seed. For every seed that you sow, every thought you think, every word you say, and every action you do, think about the consequences. In a heated argument with a family member, consider the consequences of your own selfishness. In a frustrating exchange with a friend, consider the consequences of a damaged relationship. Even if you are right, is it worth losing your companionship with that person just because you wanted to be selfish? Choose your words carefully, remembering that you reap more than you sow. Now, let me give you a personal testimony. I'm 57 years old. In my 57 years of living, I have never once had someone curse me out to my face. Never. Say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? You reap what you sow. No. I'm not saying what was in my mind, amen. But I never had someone curse me out to my face. Why? I never cursed anyone out to their face. You reap what you sow. You reap more than what you sow. Not only did I never have someone curse me out, told me off to my face, I've not had any arguments. Now, I've had some disagreements. But you know how folks... I've always been able to discuss with people, and if they didn't like what I said, it's like, sorry. I try to maintain my cool as much as possible. And consequently, I've never had an argument that really was ready to go to blows. I've always been able to humble myself to say, you know, it's not worth fighting over. It's not worth fighting over. Let me just go my way. I'm not going to argue with you. Even when it came with some loved ones, you know what I said? I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with you. Why? It's not worth it. Is it really worth it to get my point across? Because you're going to reap more than you sow. Not only did I never get cursed out of my face, not had any many arguments, I've had only about two fights in my life, and that was when I was a kid. It really wasn't a fight because I was overpowered. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me you didn't go out to pick fights? No, I didn't. And if you didn't have any brothers, you wouldn't either. I had three sisters. So I tried really hard to be a peacemaker and a negotiator. Why? If I get beat up, who's got my back? Nobody. My mother would come down there and get them. Amen. Your mother had to defend you. Well, at least I got defended. Amen. And she beat you good. Amen. What am I saying here? The consequences of every seed. You've got to be careful in what you're sowing because you're going to reap more than what you sow. But you will reap from what you sow. And as a result here, I can look back over my life and just praise God that he didn't allow me to get into many spats or fights or things like that. People really never cursed me out to my face. They might have said some bad things about me, but they didn't stand toe-to-toe and just tell me off and tell me directions on how to get there. And I know some people have done that. I mean, tell you off. Sowing and reaping, amen. When you're looking at that, remember John, Mark, and Paul, and Barnabas, and that situation in the book of Acts? And John, Mark left to work, and then he wanted to go back, and Barnabas had to take him in. How do you think that whole situation would have panned out had Barnabas not taken John, Mark? John, Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. But just think if they would have given up on him altogether. But Barnabas was compassionate and took him and trained him up. And we have the Gospel of Mark. Let me give you that C here. Matter of fact, let me read this here. When you're tempted to sin, think about the consequences you will face. When the Holy Spirit lays something on your heart, consider what could happen if you choose not to obey His leading. When He tells you to back away, but you want to go ahead and contest and fight, you could be in trouble. If He tells you to keep your peace and you want to open your mouth, you could be in trouble. If you persist to give them a piece of your mind when He tells you you've got all the mind that you need to keep in, amen, you could be in trouble. Young people, when you want to tell your parents off and want to persist and want to fight against their authority and what they say, guess what? You could be in trouble because you will reap more than what you sow. Amen. I know of a relative, and I mean the person that I'm thinking of was just belligerent to the parents, were disrespectful to the parents, didn't want to do what the parents wanted them to do at every turn, fought and had a child. Guess what you think the child did? Exactly the same, only worse. Exactly the same, only worse. And the parents said, why is this happening? Because you reap more than what you sow. You did that to your parents. So what do you expect? Amen. All right, give you this last one. We're going to quit here. Do not quit on any good seed. Do not quit on any good seed. I've got a story here I read in my devotion this week. Let me read it to you real quick. It's called Never Give Up on the Lost. Do not quit. It says here, E. Howard Cadle, after completely ruining his life with gambling, alcohol, and adultery, doctors informed him that he would have only 6 months to live. His mother had told him many times, always remember, son, that at 8 o'clock every night, I'll be kneeling beside your bed asking God to protect you, my precious boy. One instance during a fight while gambling, Cato drew his gun out and pulled the trigger to shoot a man. But the gun did not fire. He looked at the clock and it was exactly 8 p.m. His mother's powerful prayers had protected her son. Finally, he turned home to his godly mother after years of ruining his life. With tears in his eyes, he cried, Mother, I'm tired of my sin. I've broken your heart. I've betrayed my wife. I've broken my marriage vows. I'd like to be saved, but I've sinned too much. His mother replied, Son, I prayed 12 years to hear you say what you have just said. Then she shared with him Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. That day, Howard accepted Christ as his Savior and immediately found his wife. Forgive me for all the wrongs I've done to you, Ola, he confessed. With tear-filled eyes, she kissed her husband and replied, I have forgiven you a long time ago, honey. It goes on to say, never give up praying for those who need Christ or need your prayers. No one is beyond the grace and the love of God. The Lord can cleanse and redeem anyone who comes to Him in repentance. Imagine this guy looking at the clock and seeing it's 8 o'clock when he's trying to shoot somebody. Can you imagine the horror and the panic that probably went through his heart? Look what I could have just done. I could have just killed someone. But my mom's praying for me. She said 8 o'clock every night. And 8 o'clock that night, the gun wouldn't go off even though he pulled the trigger. Powerful prayers. What am I saying? Never, ever quit on any good seed that you plant. If you're sowing seeds of kindness, don't quit. If you're sowing seeds of compassion, don't quit. If you're sowing seeds of forgiveness, don't quit. Those seeds will come back because you reap more than what you sow. Whatever good that you do, know that God's going to repay it. But whatever bad you do, know that that's going to come back as well. The consequences. What's the point of all this? The law of the harvest is this. You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. And you reap more than you sow. This law worked in the biblical days, and it works in your life and my life as well. Folks, we see right now we have sold to missions, and guess what? We have seen souls saved. Brother Alfred King is a good person I like to have here because it's just a picture of missions. What happened? Young boy gets saved, 15 years old, goes off to Bible college. God calls him to start a church. He comes in here and says, will you partner with me? We give him some finances and give him some prayers. He goes out there and souls get saved. And what is that? That's sowing. And so there's a church there in Oro Valley where there wasn't a church because someone sold. There's a church here called Shining Light because somebody sowed good seeds. Amen. There's a husband here now trying to do the best he can by his wife. Why? There's a mom years ago that sowed good seeds. In your family as well, there's going to be some seed sown that you're not going to see right now come to fruition, but you keep watering and you keep watering, and one day you'll see that child grow up and they will be someone that you can look to and say, man, I'm proud of what God did in their life. Look at what they did. Every time Mother's Day comes around or one of those days, I call my mom and thank her for what she's done in my life. Father's Day, they do the same thing. And they say, we're just proud of how you turned out. Hey, it was sketchy for a while. It was sketchy for a while when they had to beat me and punish me and jack me up. And my mother jacked me up against the wall. It was sketchy for a while. They thought I was going to turn out to be a criminal. They said, boy, we're going to be visiting you in jail if you don't straighten up. But guess what? They kept planting and planting and planting, sowing love and forgiveness and compassion and understanding. And now when it comes for Mother's Day and Father's Day, I run out of space in writing stuff for them. I run out of space. I do. Why? Man, that's a lot they did for me. But guess what? They sowed then, they're reaping now. Hey, sow in your children's life now and see God give you the benefits of reaping later. Hey, one day you're going to get old. Dirt. And you're going to need somebody to take care of you. The last thing you want is kids say, I don't want to take care of you. You didn't do nothing for me when I was a kid. Put you in a place where nobody's going to love you and take care of you. You don't want them saying, I don't want them close to me. Look the way they treated me when I was a kid. No, you want them to say, man, you want the kids to fight over you. I want them. We already said, hey, look, when mom said, look, I want to be rotated around the yard. No, I want her first. She comes here during this time. She goes, we already talked about it. My mom said, don't put me in no home. And so we were like, oh, will you come here? They said, you can't have her all the time. I said, well, y'all had her all the time. I'm right in Arizona. I want her now. They said, no, you know, it's 3 months here, 3 months there, 3 months here. Yeah. All, it's four of us, we'll divide it. I said, that ain't even right. Y'all all live in the same town. That ain't even right. 6 months with me and 6 months with y'all. Y'all figure out the rest, amen. Hey, what's going on now? Now we're fighting over who gets mom and who gets dad. Why? Sowing and reaping. She sold in us, and now she's going to reap the benefits. You do the same thing for your children. Do the same thing in your life, and God will bless in the long run. You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. You reap more than you sow. Memory verse for next week is going to be Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We'll give you 6 the week after that as we start lesson 13 next week. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Father, thank you so much for this lesson on sowing and reaping, the law of the harvest. God, there's so much there that we don't even realize, Lord, sowing our thoughts, our actions, Lord, our words. Help us to sow thoughts, words, and actions that are glorifying to thee and honoring to thee, that, Lord, we won't have to reap, Lord, bad seeds and bad plants. We know that there is going to happen, but, Lord, may we plant more good than bad, and Lord, operating in the spirit and not in the flesh. Work in our lives like only you can. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings and bless in our time in between. Lord, whether those have snacks or drinks or whatever, help them to have them to the glory of God, keeping them next door. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Don't forget, no snacks, but if you do have snacks for your children, please keep them over in the fellowship hall, and then we will get started here at 4:15.